Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined in, you're on Medium Wave 1548. My name is Tasneem. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Ad-Dhikrayat, the show that's all about simple reminders for the believers. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, we begin in the name of Allah. All praise is due to Allah. Nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru. We praise Him, we seek Him, and we ask for His forgiveness. We begin by praising Allah and sending His choicest blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to the show. It's good to be back. I hope everybody had a good break and everyone's back to routine. And sometimes we all need time out and we need to charge those batteries and we need to charge those spiritual batteries. And speaking about spiritual batteries, it got me thinking about, you know, we need to take time out. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this gift of salah, which gives us the opportunity to take time out 5 times a day. But do you sometimes feel like your iman is getting weaker? Do you feel that when you pray, you cannot concentrate? You cannot have khushu. You don't feel like praying or reading Quran. You read Quran without concentration. Does this feeling really bother you? And are you not sure what to do about it or how to snap out of it? And sometimes you find your iman stronger. You pray with khushu and you enjoy reading the Quran with focus and understanding. You do dhikr and you are so motivated and happy when you do any form of ibadah. But my dear sisters, you are not alone. We all go through these ups and down phases. There are many reasons to that, and once we know them, we can help ourselves stay in the higher phase of iman most of the time. When you feel your iman is getting weaker, make sure that, you know, you do the following things. So inshallah, let us look at some of the things that we can do in order to get our iman up and going again. So first of all, let's go back with your memory and recall what have you been doing in the past few days or past few weeks. For example, the week that just went by. Alhamdulillah, it was holidays and everybody was relaxed and, you know, so sometimes we, you know, introspect and think, like, just think to yourself, what have you been doing? Maybe we gossiped or watched too much of TV. Sometimes we do that and we delayed our prayers. And sometimes we don't wake up for Fajr, and we're not giving enough sadaqah. And every time you do something which Allah doesn't approve of, your heart gets covered with a layer which thickens with time until it weakens your iman. So sometimes you think, like, what is it that's weakening my iman? But really introspect and look within yourself and see, what am I doing differently? Or what can I do differently in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What effort can I make? Or what have I been doing that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, nay, but on the heart in the rear, in the realm, covering of sins and evil deeds, which they used to earn, find those reasons and start working on them. So sit down peacefully and recall Allah's blessings on you. It's very important that we sometimes take our time and, you know, make shukr for everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, including our health, our children, our education, our rizq, and the list goes on. I mean, just being a Muslim, you're being better than, you know, millions out there because you have the gift of iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you, like how you go out into the garden. And if you're choosing flowers for your vase, you're only going to pick the best of flowers. And just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has picked you amongst millions of people in order to be gifted with the blessed gift of iman, subhanallah. So you being this Muslim, inshallah, you know, living in a warm, cozy house instead of being outside in the cold, you being able to pay sadaqah, you not needing to beg others for rizq, and many, many other blessings which Allah has granted you and is granting you every single day, the gift of breath. You know, the fact that we can breathe in fresh oxygen every single day without means of some mechanism to help our lungs breathe. This alone is so much. It's such a big ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine we take all of these things for granted. Imagine life without your loved ones. Imagine life without your sight. Imagine life with a serious disease. And imagine life without guidance and without Islam. This should help you appreciate and say alhamdulillah and see the ni'mat of Allah on you, which will help you focus more on your worship, and you know, you can pray with more appreciation, inshallah. Another thing that really helps us get our imans going again is, inshallah, to sit down and picture your death. And this I like to call muraqabatul maut. because it really gets you thinking about your death and to meditate upon your death. So it might sound like a very negative thing to do, but I promise you, just by doing these daily activities and these exercises, maybe not even daily, but every once in a while, it really puts you back into reality. Like after the holiday, it felt like back to life, back to reality. And I think this is what we need to do, to sometimes shake us out of our slumber. And we need to lay down and close your eyes and imagine somebody, you know, undressing you, moving you from one side to the other, washing you. There's nothing you can do. You can't even cover yourself or your aura. They have to do that for you. Instead, you're completely helpless. The body you strive to cover all your life is being exposed. The dress you are wearing, which was once yours, is not yours anymore. And those shoes that used to be yours are not yours anymore. And the beautiful handbags and beautiful things that you used to own and that you used to carry around is no longer yours. Nothing is yours anymore. They say it was hers or his, and that's what you're being called. You're being called a body, and you're being called the mayat, and you no longer even have your name. Your name doesn't even belong to you anymore. So, subhanAllah, these are things that we really need to ponder upon. And, you know, sit down, think about it, and really visualize yourself going through all these different stages that surround you when you are passing away. Like your final moments, where will I be when I pass away? Where will I want to be? Because remember the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way we live is the way we will die, and that is the way we will be resurrected. So inshallah, let us live a good life so we can end our days in the best of way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most pleased with us. SubhanAllah, just a reminder to the listeners that the lines are open. The number to dial is 011-854-1548, and the number to SMS is 082-551-3885. Another important thing that I know really helps many people, and many people speak about it so fondly, is to wake up at night. Just maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, maybe, I mean, alhamdulillah, for those of you that can wake up for longer, that's even better, because this is the best time to spend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes from the first heavens, and He calls, and He says, "Is anyone looking for maghfirah so that I may forgive them? Anyone needs anything so that I may grant them?" So wake up and pray and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him, "Ya Allah, my heart is becoming so hard. My iman is going down." Do istighfar at that time. Qiyamul Layl is such an important time, because this is the time when the entire world is sleeping. The phones are off. The children are not in your way. And this is the time that you can spend in solitude with your Rabb. And do istighfar at this time, so Allah can lift those layers which are weakening your iman, and you will be registered, inshallah, from those who do Qiyamul Layl. Just a few minutes earlier than the time you always wake up, and even if you're waking up for Fajr, wake up maybe 15 minutes earlier. You are going to get up Fajr anyway. So get up 10, 15 minutes earlier, even if you just read 2 rakats, but it's not even about the quantity of time that you spend in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the quality of that time and the sincerity of your intentions. And you know, how can we waste time sleeping in this precious moments when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there waiting for us? Another thing we can do maybe is, you know, to up our iman is maybe search for inspirational talks, listening to the radio, finding a ta'lim class near you, a halaqa, or anything that reminds you about deen, anything that reminds you about Islam, anything that increases your ilm. Because once you know better, then inshallah you will obviously do better. So don't just sit and feel bad about it. Start to better yourself. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. He loves when we perspire ourselves to inspire others. And get tired in looking and searching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in searching for yourself, because when you do this, inshallah, once you find yourself, you can find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I say this hadith so often because I think it encompasses everything, and it's the answer to life, and it's the secret to life, actually, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbahu." They who know their Lord, actually the other way, they who know themselves, truly they know their Lord. And arafa nafsahu, arafa rabbahu. It's such a powerful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it touches on the very psychology of a human being about knowing yourself. Who am I? Where am I from? Where am I going? And answering all of these questions will only give you direction. And that direction is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because once you know who you are, you will understand that you are a slave. A slave of your Rabb. And this slave is an honor to be the slave. Because in Western terms, when you think of a slave, you think of somebody that's shackled and, you know, something derogatory and somebody that has to clean up after others. But when we think of us as a Muslim, subhanAllah, you've been given the gift of Iman, and within your heart lies the Noor of Iman. And this Noor is a gift only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knowing this, because I think as Muslims, one of the things we suffer from, and it also affects our Iman, is because we suffer from identity crisis. We really don't know who we are. Because once we understand who we are, just saying that I'm a Muslim, when you say and declare that you are a Muslim, declaration of faith, you are saying that I'm a Muslim, I submit totally to the will of Allah. And it brings me back to the ayat, and I love using this ayat because inshallah Allah ta'ala make us like the Sahaba that were sami'na wa ta'ala. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said a commandment, and when the commandments came down, for example, when the commandment of hijab came down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the women to cover up, the men and the women, in fact. The men to lower the gaze, the women to lower the gaze, obviously the men to cover certain parts of their bodies, and in declaring the entire woman's body is aura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed this, and this was a commandment, you know. And at that time, whatever the people were doing, it was said something to the effect, it's mentioned in our history books, that the women at that time, even if they were in the marketplace, they sent their slaves home to go and fetch their jilbabs. They wouldn't walk out looking like that, just because that ayat came down at that point. Whatever they were doing, they tore the bottom of their dresses to cover their faces and to cover their hair. So subhanAllah, let us be the people of sami'na wa ata'na, and inshallah, let us have this iman that is complete like the Sahaba Ikram. And Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those people that value our iman and know what this iman is, and look after it like a treasured jewel, inshallah, so that we can really make shukr for it. And I think the more we make shukr for it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only increase it for us. Iman is like a mizan, like a scale. It increases and decreases based on our daily deeds. So it's so important what we do from day to day, thinking about the things that we do, the things that we occupy ourselves doing. Like I said, sometimes, you know, in the holidays, we get a bit lackadaisy, we're out and about, we sometimes miss our salah, we're traveling, we get a bit laxy with our reading our salah on time. And alhamdulillah, we've been given these concessions in deen where a musafir can, you know, read his salah but later, or read it shorter, subhanAllah. But the thing is, let us not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are on holiday, but it doesn't mean that our iman is on holiday. In fact, this is the time to recharge our spiritual batteries. And just talking about spiritual batteries, alhamdulillah, we're so blessed that upon us coming, not soon, not very long ago away, is the beautiful month of Ramadan, and our hearts are yearning for this beautiful month because our hearts need this month so desperately, so we can really do time out. I think Ramadan is a time where we can really, you know, contemplate and sit back and think, where are we going now? Where have I been and who am I now? SubhanAllah. So let us look forward to these days, and let us look forward to this beautiful month, because this is the month that we can really reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're only dealing with our nafs in Ramadan, because alhamdulillah, this is another ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, that shaitan will be tied up. And then we know that we are only dealing with our nafs. Right now we have to deal with shaitan and we have to deal with our nafs. So we have two oppositions. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us. So don't listen to the shaitan when he comes to you and tells you, you have been bad. How can you dare ask Allah for anything? This is what shaitan's going to lie to you, and he's going to say, you have no right to do so. And this is sometimes why we give up. Shaitan's biggest trick is for us to lose hope in the mercy of Allah. This is his way to keep you away from dua and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He plays with you in the game of guilt. So you stop talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you stay away because of guilt. So So don't give him a chance. Go back to Allah and ask him for tawfiq, ask him for success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, keep us on the path of iman until our death, inshallah. May Allah ta'ala take us when he's most pleased with us. Just a reminder to the listeners, anything that you'd like to share on this topic or anything else, let me know what you've been up to in the holidays, what your preparations are for the beautiful month of Ramadan. Please do call in. The number to call is 011-854-1548, and we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548 with Tasneem on Al-Dhikrayat. And today's show is all about simple reminders for the believer, focusing on our iman and how to get our iman back up and going. Alhamdulillah, we all had a beautiful break this last 10 days, being school holidays and all the mums back in the car, back to pick up all the kids, and we're back to life, back to reality. And alhamdulillah, just speaking about how we need time out, we get this time 5 times a day, subhanAllah, to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one time that we are totally, you know, in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can be in direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes it just doesn't feel the same. You know, sometimes you feel like, you know, you lost it, and how can I get it back? So today's show is all about, you know, getting ready and getting back to, you know, feeling that khushu in your salah. So get ready for the ultimate salah booster. Today's show we'll be looking at some amazing productivity tips to enhance your prayer, giving you a fresh perspective on the world of salah, and make you love your prayer like never before, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us in the Quran, and he says, and seek help through patience and prayer, and indeed it is difficult except for the humbly submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes in the second para, ayat 45. So today we'll be looking at productivity tips based on a summary of the beautiful How to Taste the True Beauty of Salah series by Mishari Al-Kharaz. And he says, number one, so first of all, say Allahu Akbar, and basically when you're saying Allahu Akbar, you throw the world behind you. Did you ever think that why do we start our prayer with Allahu Akbar and not with, for example, Subhanallah? Realize that when you are saying Allahu Akbar, you affirm that the one before whom you are about to stand is greater than anything occupying you at that moment. Greater than your sleep, your families, your bills, your worries, greater than your children, greater than anything else. And that is why we say Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. So when we are reading Salah, we really need to make the salah real. Otherwise, it's going to be a mere physical activity where we go up, down, touch the ground, and then, you know, burn a few calories, and that's all it's going to be. So let us make our salah a real spiritual experience, inshallah. Just imagine that when you're saying Allahu Akbar, while you're raising your hands, you are throwing all of that dunya behind you. You're literally taking the dunya on your hands and you're throwing it behind you. And, you know, visualize these things. It will only make your salah more meaningful and inshallah more worthy in terms of your sincerity, so that you can connect more truly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. If you're a bit shy, you don't want to come on air, inshallah, the number to SMS is 082-551-3885. We love hearing from you, so please do call and do interact with us. Number two we can do is visualize the veil. So we know the fact that when we're in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 70,000 veils are lifted between you and your Rabb. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Musa alayhi salam came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Musa alayhi salam was obviously so taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence, because he could speak directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asked Allah, oh Allah, please let me see you. And Allah told him that, oh Musa, with the eyes that I've given you for this dunya, you won't be able to bear my magnificence. And Musa, obviously being so in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he kept persisting, and Allah said, okay, I'm going to lift one veil. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that, he commanded Musa to turn to the mountain. And when Musa alayhi salam turned to the mountain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted one veil. In doing so, the entire mountain crumbled. Subhanallah. And imagine, this is something that even Musa alayhi salam couldn't withstand. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this opportunity to us, the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when we are in sujood, 70,000 veils are lifted. When you stand to pray, Allah commands, raise the veils from between me and my servant. As soon as you say Allahu Akbar and start your salah, Allah sets his beautiful face to yours and doesn't turn away from you unless you do. When your thoughts or your sight drifts off, he orders the veil to be drawn back down. So what a loss for all of us that are drifting off and thinking about the pots on the stove or the children that we have to collect or, you know, the bills that we have to pay, when we really should be focusing on the one that needs to be only focused on in any given moment, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So visualize these veils being lifted to keep you, to keep concentration with your heart, your body, your mind, and your soul. And if you're still drifting, think about why you're still drifting. What is in your heart? Because the thing that is in your heart will manifest on your mind. So maybe we should clear our hearts spiritually and then fill our hearts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we're standing in salah, then Allah is the only being on our mind. And this is why you repeat the great words, Allahu Akbar. We keep on every movement that we make in salah, we repeat the words, Allahu Akbar. Because it's a reminder to us when we're reading our salah about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you move into each position, it's a reminder and a new chance and again to focus, to refocus. Because insan is likes us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us out of haste and we forgetful. And hence, this is why we need reminders every single day. And just repeating the word Allahu Akbar reminds us, you know, to refocus. That, look, yeah, I've been drifting, and we get back into concentration. And where am I? I'm reading salah. I'm standing right in front of the king of the world. Subhanallah, and he deserves my utmost attention. But where am I? My mind is all over the show. And the minute we drift, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lowers the veil again, and we're losing out on so much. So it's only our loss. Something else we can do. We can imagine walking into a palace. How would you recognize the servants of the king? Probably by their humble position, looking down. You know, this is what we normally, how one would normally behave in front of somebody with honor. And as you lower your gaze to the place of your prostration and place your hands right over your left and close to your chest, it is time to salute the king. And this is the king of all kings. So imagine standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you utter the beautiful salutation, and you feel each word that you're reciting. You know, and how beautiful this would be. And I think what would really help is also to understand what we're saying in salah. So unfortunately, for those of us that don't speak the Arabic language, it's so important for us to just reflect on the meaning of these lofty words and understand what we're saying and how we're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and realize that the only parts of salah you are mindful of or of being accepted, and that shaitan does his very best to steal every sweet moment you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to feel each word we're reciting, feel each ayah of Surah Fatiha. So inshallah, you know, now that we're reading and we understand what Surah Fatiha means, you are now ready to enter the essence of it all. And just thinking about Surah Fatiha, the greatest chapter of the Quran, the mother of the Quran, Ummul Quran, there's so many different names of Surah Fatiha, without which your prayer is nullified. So know that Allah Himself answers back when you recite the verses of Surah Fatiha. So add a short pause after each ayat, you know, like you're in conversation, direct conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are just some things to ponder upon and think about for inshallah, you know, for us to get our khushu back in salah. Assalamu alaikum, we have a call on the line.
Wa alaikum salam, hi old darling.
How are you? Alhamdulillah.
I'm so happy to hear your voice on English. I'd like to first say Allahumma rajab for Shabbat for Mizan Mubarak to you first.
Inshallah.
Make dua. I make dua for everybody, and make dua for me. I'm not so well this time. Last year when I kept all my fast Ramzan, I got pretty sick on 8th day. But this Ramzan, I want to, I don't know if I will be able to, but you people, I want everybody to make dua for me, inshallah.
Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give you complete shifa. And allow us all to see this beautiful month of Ramadan, inshallah.
And I would like to say, these are all Mubarak months. I'd like everybody in this month too, everybody must read the Quran and try and make khatam in this month, in Shaban and Ramadan also. It's so nice to pray and so nice to know that I think we had, Allah gave us such a beautiful, beautiful Quran Sharif for us to read every day, every morning, and every evening. And Allah keep us all well, all the old people especially. And may Allah bless you all, keep you well. And may Allah khandanai mubarak mein and keep kare, inshallah. And keep us alive for Ramadan also, so that we can please read our Quran, and may Allah forgive all our sins.
Ameen. And keep us in your du'as as well, inshallah.
Inshallah. The same Allah bless you all.
Ameen. And Barakallah for the beautiful.
And Radio Islam International, all the Mawlana's, the presenters, and all the team that is on Radio Islam, may Allah bless them all, reward them all here and the Akhira.
Ameen. Jazakallah for the beautiful du'as, and let Allah keep us all sincere in whatever we do, inshallah.
Ameen.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What a beautiful, positive motivation for the coming month of Ramadan. Inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala give us that khushu that from the caller, you know, feeling the words that she just said, and, you know, understanding that, you know, she spoke about the Quran so lovingly, and she approaches the Quran so lovingly. May Allah Ta'ala bless us also with that same khushu and that same sweetness of Iman, inshallah. Going back to what we were speaking about just before the caller, we're talking about Surah Fatiha and the importance of, you know, connecting with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you're reciting the surahs, it's something that we learned early on, I mean, in grade one for some of us, alhamdulillah. But, you know, we take it for granted that this was the first surahs that we recited and we learned, and, you know, but we don't understand the weightiness of these surahs. These are the direct words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Surah Fatiha, although it was one of the first surahs that we learned, it is one of the most important chapters in the Quran, being the opening of the Quran. So it's very important for us to understand the weight of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and understand that these words were directly revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the importance of it. And that is why we recite it so often in our salah. And there's, you know, there's such beautiful verses in Surah Fatiha, but the one that stands out for me always is just guiding me to the straight path. And we're always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Sirat al-Mustaqim, because, you know, we need sincerity in every action that we do, in the ma'amalu bin niyat. And this is something that we sometimes, you know, shaitan or our nafs, and we need to, you know, renew our intention in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end of every action that we do. Because, alhamdulillah, sometimes we start off doing something so well. Take, for example, we're praying our salah, and we're reading our salah, and we're going about doing it. And then, for example, somebody would walk into the room, and just because somebody is watching us pray, we'll try and prolong our rukus, prolong our sujood. Then who are we really praying to? So this is how our intention and our niyyah changes from being a noble intention to something that's not so pure. So let Allah keep us sincere and keep us, you know, khushu, and, you know, understand that, let us taste the sweetness of Iman, inshallah. Let us go to break and then we will be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to the show Al-Dhikrayat with me, Tasneem. And today we're speaking all about how to enhance our salah, how to get back into prayer and feel that khushu, feel that sweetness. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't feel the same. Sometimes we feel like we lost it, and how can we get it back? So get ready for the ultimate salah booster. And today's show, we're speaking all about how to get a fresh perspective on the world of salah, and how to make you love your prayer like you never before, inshallah. Allah advises us in the Quran to seek help through patience and prayer, and indeed it is difficult except for the humbly submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we're looking at productivity tips based on a summary of the beautiful How to Taste the True Beauty of Salah series by Mishari Al-Kharaz. And just before the break, we were speaking about the importance of Surah Fatiha and how we take it so lightly, and the, you know, to really understand the depths of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, utter His name with pure love. So think about it. I mean, when we're standing to pray, and when we're facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we're on our musallas and our prayer mats, what has brought you to stand here right now? Is it your love and longing to be with Allah? And when you meet up with your beloved, what do you first say? The sweet sound of the beloved's name, the name that blesses everything it falls upon. Feel the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim soothing your heart as it gently rolls off your lips. You know, say these words with love, and you know, understand that you're talking to your most beloved. And Salah is a meeting between the lover and the beloved, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should love Him more than anything. So when we're standing, stand still. And when we come to the ayat that says, you know, that understand that this is the Lord of the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatiha that He is the Lord of the worlds. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that, you know, Alhamdulillah fills the scales. And this comes in Muslim. It's a hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And he said, Alhamdulillah fills the scales. And this comes in Muslim. So really feel gratefulness when you say Alhamdulillah. Did you see those documentaries where they zoom out from the cells of plant leaves all the way to the planets and the galaxies? Now, instead of that leaf, start the zoom out process with the image of yourself standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then zoom back down, back through the universe to the place you are standing in the prayer. And alhamdulillah, we are tiny speck in this magnificent creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all the universes and the planets. And you come down to us standing on our prayer mat, we're literally a tiny little speck. And the next time you pray, view yourself from above and far away, and truly taste the meaning of Rabbul Alameen, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am the Lord of the worlds. So we need to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humbly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that we come to Him humbly, because we are the Abdur Rahman, we are the Abd of the Rahman, we are the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are standing in front of the King of all kings, and understand who you are speaking to and who you are conversing with. So let us reflect on Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim before Malik Yawm al-Din, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these words in Surah Fatiha and in the sequence of the different ayats. Have you ever wondered why Allah's names Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim come before Malik Yawm al-Din, which is the master of the Day of Judgment? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first describes Himself as Ar-Rahman, and then He says Ar-Rahim, that I am the most merciful. And then afterwards in Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say that I am also the master of the Day of Judgment. So be reminded that it is the most, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most gracious and most merciful, who will judge us on the Day of Judgment. So how beautiful is that, my dear listeners, my dear mothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first explaining to us His mercy, His Rahman, His Rahim, and then He's saying He will judge us. So, you know, just ponder upon those words and the sequence of those words. And, you know, you feel so empowered and comforted when you say Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And then you pause a moment at Malik Yawm al-Din, realizing the horrors of the Day of Judgment, but knowing that your Rabb is most merciful and most gracious upon you, and knowing that, inshallah, having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and turning back towards Him, inshallah. So these are all things that, inshallah, can, you know, increase our khushu, increase the meaning of our salah, and increase our concentration in our salah. We need to know all the meanings, especially if you can just focus on Surah Fatiha, and then slowly, slowly work your way through all the other surahs, inshallah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatiha, "You alone we worship, and unto you alone we turn for help. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ." Let this remind you to make Allah alone your focus, not the people. Because many a times we say that Allah is our focus. But normally, think about it, when we're sick, the first thing we're going to do is to phone the doctor or to get medication. But really, if Allah is your focus, we really need to pray to Allah for shifa, because sickness is from Allah. Maybe recite two rakats nafil, salah, or, you know, make a dua, and then phone the doctor. That is the sequence if we're really saying that we're focusing on Allah. But what do? We normally first get the medical attention, and then we pray to Allah for shifa. So let us just get our priorities straight, and let this love for Allah not just be a mere lip service. Let it be a deep, real, meaningful emotion that we feel deep in the recesses of our hearts, that is real and sincere. So when you asked, why did you do this or that, you know, whatever deeds we might do, you can firmly answer that it was only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything that we do is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You alone we worship, and unto you alone do we turn for help. We need to feel this ayah by knowing that the companions used to weep for hours reciting it. One of them was once praying in Makkah. His friend went ahead and and did the tawaf, and when he returned to him, he was still at this verse, repeating it and crying until the sun came up. And this is the iman of the Sahaba. They would ponder upon everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, every word in the Quran, every hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated to them, everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they would, you know, practice upon that, because this was their level of iman. It was of that of sami'na wa ata'na. Whatever they heard, they obeyed immediately. And when we say Ameen at the end of Surah Fatiha, say Ameen as if your life depended on it. The most comprehensive supplication you can ever make is when we say Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please guide us to the straight path. See how you follow the proper etiquette of how to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we're reciting Surah Fatiha also, we're going in the sequence of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledging his magnificence, acknowledging his, you know, that all power is only in his hands, and then asking him to guide us to the straight path, and then asking him also to save us from those who have angered him, and not make us amongst those who disobey him, and then we recite the Ameen at the end of the dua. So when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're asking him, we're praising him, and then we're asking him to also guide us. Now realize that your entire existence depends on this supplication. And the Ameen you pronounce now will have to come from the bottom of your heart. And the Ameen means that, my Lord, grant or answer my prayers. When you say Ameen, it's as if you've been sentenced to death or are pleading for pardon or begging with passion. Not just saying Ameen, but really saying it like your life depends on it. And saying it with real feeling and real emotion. Another important thing to actually ponder upon in Salah is to feel the bond with your Lord. When you are saying that, you know, how perfect my Lord is, and you're calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most supreme, in Ruku, we're reading Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, we're saying how perfect my Lord is, the supreme. And we're focusing on the pronoun that means my in Rabbi. It adds the element of bonding. He is my Lord who raised me in his care and who is nurturing me. Note that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions used to be in the bowing position as long as he would be in the standing segment of Salah. So we shouldn't be rushing through our rukus and our sujoods, and inshallah we should try and stay longer in these positions, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these positions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith something to the effect that when we are in ruku and when we are in sujood, the angels take all our bad deeds and sins and they place it onto our backs. And when we stand up from these positions, then all the bad deeds are flung off from our bodies. So subhanAllah, if we knew this and if we visualized this, then inshallah, when we're in sujood and ruku, we'll actually want to stay down for longer, because then they can pile on more of our bad deeds. And inshallah, when we sit up from sujood and we stand up from ruku, then everything is flung off. Your sujood is actually the ultimate symbol of complete submission to your Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this position so much that he refers to this as one of his most favorite positions of a believer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to the effect in a hadith, and this hadith is narrated in Muslim, and he says that the closest that a servant is to his Lord is when he is in prostration. Subhanallah. But we need to understand that when we make sujood and when we rise from sujood, that inshallah, even though our body is rising from sujood, our heart always remains in sujood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are all just little things that we can focus on bringing the khushu and humbleness back into our salah. May Allah ta'ala grant me first the understanding, and inshallah bless all the listeners out there to give us all the full, you know, full benefit of our salah and understand the real importance of why we read salah and how to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we need to understand that Allah chose you and He chose me, and you are here, and that is enough. This should motivate you on its own. And inshallah, you know, understand that this is why we need to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if you haven't prayed your salah in weeks or months or even years, it's still never too late. So turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. Allah will still forgive you and love you for doing the right thing. May Allah flood your life with happiness, your heart with love, your soul with spirituality, your mind with wisdom. I pray only joys to surround you, your family, your friends, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. These are my du'as for you and all your loved ones, inshallah, from me and my engineer, Brother Jahangir. Inshallah, we will be back next week, Tuesday, same time, same place. Fi amanillah, until we meet again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.